All right, welcome everyone. I call to order the July 11th, 2023 special board meeting of the SCV Water Agency Board of Directors. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And Vice President Maria Goodsa, would you lead us in the pledge, please? Please stand.
We begin.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right. I have one announcement. President Martin will be participating remotely per Government Code Section 54953E, AB 2449, under the Emergency Circumstances Exception, if approved by the board at tonight's meeting. Per AB 2449, each attendee who participates remotely shall publicly disclose at the meeting before any action is taken whether any other individuals 18 years of age or older are present in the room at the remote location with the member and the general nature of the member's relationship with any such individuals. President Martin, is there anyone in the room with you? And if so, please state the relationship to you.
Yes, Vice President Ozahosky, my wife Phyllis Martin is in the room with me. No one else is here.
Thank you, President Martin. All right, before we begin, I have some additional announcements. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. Because board members are participating remotely pursuant to AB 2449, in the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, no action will be taken until the disruption is resolved. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it's your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it's your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. If there's a public present, I'd like to remind the public that there are public comment cards on the table outside. Please complete and return to board secretary to help expedite public comments section. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting except for Director Colley. All right, we're going to move to item number 3, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Okay. I believe we do have a public comment from Ms. Cam Noldemeyer. Ms. Noldemeyer, can you please approach?
Cam Noldemeyer, as you're all well aware, I have been following this water company since it started. And unfortunately, what I'm seeing now is a lot of it going back to its old ways. And it's disturbing me a great deal. There isn't much thought about the ratepayers. And particularly with this agenda, it's obvious. It's very, very obvious. And also, it's what you're doing, too, is what is of concern here. But I wasn't going to sit here all night waiting to say about each one. But actually, I've read through it. I can't find anything here that benefits someone that lives in Valencia. And we've always been your target. And it's gotten to be ridiculous because it goes back from when we were built. And you're at it again. So I will be at you as long as you continue the way you are right now. And if you want to take money from us, which is what I see in the in that whole agenda there, is to set us up to say it will same way it was years and years ago. But I remember that because I've been here that whole time. And that's what you're setting us up for. So I protest that. I will go against every single one of you that votes for it. And if this continues the way it is, and it is a repeat of what was done exactly, I'll dig out my old, I have every one that I have from back then. And it's the same thing, setting the people up from Valencia for extra charges. So look forward to seeing me at many of your meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer. Madam Secretary, are there any questions from our virtual attendees?
No, there's not.
Okay, thank you. Now we move on to item number four. Consider and approve a request by President Martin to attend today's special board meeting remotely due to an emergency circumstances and approve the agenda. Mr. Tumban, any details?
Vice President Orzowski, members of the board, as you know, there are two ways to participate remotely under AB 1449. One is the just cause arrangement, in which the person participating remotely simply has to notify the board of the just cause. President Martin, as was announced earlier, is using the emergency circumstances exception, under which he must request the board to be able to participate remotely due to the emergency circumstances, and the board must take action to approve the request. Board also has to request a general description of the circumstances relating to the need to appear remotely. You have in front of you the written request, which states that it's due to a physical medical emergency. In my judgment, and I've talked this over with Mr. Byrne, that's a sufficient justification to participate. So if the board wishes to allow President Martin to participate, it may do so.
Thank you, Mr. Bunn. Are there any members of the public that have any questions or comments? Madam Secretary, anyone virtually?
There is not.
Okay, open up to discussion. Director Cooper?
I would so move to allow President Martin to attend the meeting remotely.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Director Bonstein?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Director Armitage?
I just want to say that I'm glad we have the technology that allows President Martin to join us virtually. So thank you.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Absolutely. But real quick, can we also include in that motion to approve the agenda, the amended agenda?
Right. So we're doing two items here, approving President Martin to participate in today's meeting, and also approving the agenda. Are there any comments or questions on the agenda as is from directors? Right, hearing none.
Could we confirm that that's Director Cooper's motion and confirm with the second as well?
It is to include the agenda.
Director Bronstein?
Same, yes.
Okay, please proceed with the roll call.
Thank you. As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Marks?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
Yes.
Director Peterson?
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit?
Yes.
Vice President Ozohowski?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Thank you, Board, very much.
All right, we'll move on to item number 5, consent calendar. We will be pulling item 5.2 from the consent calendar for staff updates. So the consent calendar as is, there are 4 remaining items for approval. Items 5.1, 5.3, 5.4, and 5.5. Before we open up to board discussion and motion, are there any members of the public who should comment or question?
Oh,
no. In attendance and virtually. Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Okay. Directors? Okay. Director Armitage.
Just real quick, I was going to ask a question related to 5.2, and I guess I'll just still throw it out there, even though it got pulled. It was...
Director Armitage, so it's going to be pulled and it's going to be presented as an action item.
Oh, as an action item tonight?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll wait.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from directors?
So move the consent calendar, Cooper.
Second, Gutzeit.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit?
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution numbers SCV-366, SCV-367, and SC3-368.
Thank you, directors. We're going to move to item 5.2. Approve adopting a resolution to deactivate the water shortage contingency plan and water conservation water supply short ordinance, ordinance number 2. This will be presented by Mr. Matt Dickens. Before we move to Mr. Matt Dickens, Mr. Cole, any opening statements?
No, I just wanted an opportunity to make a couple corrections on some inconsistencies in the report. So Matt will be able to do that, and we'll be able to hear any questions from the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Dickens, all yours.
Thank you, Director Ozahowski and members of the Board of Directors. I'm Matt Dickens, Sustainability Manager for SCV Water. There were a few bugaboos, typos, and edits and that I overlooked on the report. Essentially, as you'll note in the resolution, it's to deactivate the current water shortage plan and ordinance. The staff report identifies that, except on SIT page 2, where it refers to the original recommendation to downgrade to stage 1. That needs to be corrected to a deactivation of the plan and ordinance. And that also needs to be updated in the financial consideration section of the staff report to match the ordinance and the executive summary. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Before we go move on to questions from the board, are there any members of the public with comments or questions virtually or in attendance?
There is not.
Thank you. My directors. Director Armitage, you have a question?
Thanks. Okay, so that was my question. And I didn't have a chance to listen to the recording yet, and I apologize. But it seemed, the way it was written, it felt like staff was recommending going to a stage 1, but then the committee recommended doing a complete deactivation. So that was not the case.
Oh, that was the case.
That was the case.
Bronstein, Director Armitage, yes.
Okay. So, since I didn't get to hear the conversation, if somebody could quickly summarize, I'm interested in knowing why staff was recommending going down to stage 1. And then if somebody wants to summarize what the argument for complete deactivation was to catch the rest of us up, that would be great.
Sure. President Martin, I think you made a compelling statement during the committee meeting. Would you like to state why we should move to deactivating of the ordinance?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Vice President Ozahowski. When the item was taken up at committee, I spent some time and looked through the actual language in the Water Shortage Contingency Plan, which states that it's only to be used in the case of an actual water shortage. So my question at committee was, why are we going to go from a stage 2 to a stage 1, which is still declaring a shortage when in fact we had no shortage. And so discussion ensued, and I think I was supported by the rest of the members of the committee that we shouldn't be declaring a stage one when there's no actual shortage. And furthermore, the water shortage contingency plan provides for all the actions that staff would take with regard to water conservation activities that would continue on even in a no shortage condition. So with that, the recommendation was changed to a deactivate the ordinance that declared a stage two.
Thank you, President Martin. Director Armitage.
Thank you for that explanation. And I do agree, we don't want to fatigue the public. But I'm wondering if I need to reread it too. I guess I should maybe reread it before I say anything. But I'm wondering, do we need to change the language then in the water shortage contingency plan? Because I get where we want to continue the whole conservation is a California way of life message. And we don't know where we're going to be in a year from now, right? The pendulum seems to swing back and forth faster and faster. So I want to say I appreciate that staff was kind of, it seems like taking a more cautionary approach. But I also appreciate what President Martin just shared, and we don't want to fatigue the public. So I'm wondering, where's that bridge? So, and maybe that's not a discussion for today. Maybe that's a discussion in the near future. So I just want to say, I appreciate both sides where everybody's coming from on this.
Yeah. You know, as chair of the committee, the water supply shortage ordinance is a tool. It's a means of notifying our ratepayers, SCV, Seneca Valley of issues pertaining to water. And if we remain on stage one, it gives this false premise that's de facto status. Now, obviously, conservation is a way of life, but personally, I don't want to take that communication tool away from public outreach and from our staff just because, there is no shortage. And if there is a shortage next year, if the pendulum does swing the other way in the next two, three, or year from now, there's nothing stopping us from moving to stage two at a quicker pace or a quicker rate. Any other questions, comments from directors?
Vice President Ozahowski.
Vice President Gutzai.
I had a kind of a related question. The shortage, twofold. The shortage, it's a certain term of a shortage. It's defined, correct? Can you explain what that is? And then the second part is, did we ever hit the threshold for stage two, or did we go to stage two because the governor mandated that water agencies go to stage two?
Thank you, Director Goodsight, for the question. Regarding a water shortage as defined in the guidance from DWR, it's a fairly simple mathematical equation to some extent, and that is when available supplies are unavailable to meet unconstrained demands. So you compare your supply availability to your unconstrained demands. And if your supply is less than unconstrained demands, then you have a shortage.
Okay, so that's a very defined thing. It's not a long-term projection, nothing to do with planned.
It's done on
projects.
An annual basis, okay. That's correct, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then did we ever hit stage two in the process, or was it the governor's declaration that made us go to stage two?
So looking back at the chronological ordering of the regulatory framework in the state and the drought, we did enter into stage one following the expansion of the statewide drought declaration to include all counties in the state of California. And then we did enact stage two right around the time that the governor expanded the drought declaration to require all agencies to implement stage two measures. And then the State Water Board took emergency regulatory action to require that. So that's around the same time that that was occurring. I think that there was a combination of both looking at how we can encourage conservation. If you look at the time between when stage one was declared and April, we had record dry conditions and our conservation performance was in the negative, where mm-hmm. consumption had gone up 10% and we were utilizing our banked supplies quite a bit, which thank goodness we had, because that helped augment our supply to avoid an actual shortage. But I believe that the agency looked at future years out and the depletion of those bank supplies and wanted to start to take action to start getting conservation on the ground and get momentum and inertia behind those efforts.
Okay. Did we hit numerically that math formula that you mentioned in the beginning? Did we numerically hit stage two?
We did not.
Okay.
Our bank supplies allowed us to avoid any.
Right. I remember hearing
under that definition,
the banks were a tremendous asset.
Tremendous asset.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
President Martin, you had your hand raised.
Yes. Thank you, Vice President Ozaska. I'm just going to respond to Director Armes's question about what flexibility we might have with the water source contingency plan to continue some sort of conservation effort, even in the fact that we don't have any water shortage. And I guess I wanted to ask Director Marks, as probably the most knowledgeable person of the Urban Water Manager Plan, which includes the water shortage contingency plan, the framework and requirements for that water shortage contingency plan, to my knowledge, are pretty much dictated by Department of Water Resources. There's not a lot of flexibility. So I don't think we should be changing the requirements to allow for a shortage declaration when there is none. The plan itself allows for all the water conservation activities that Mr. Dickens would do to promote water conservation without declaring a shortage. So I think it was as simple as, why are we declaring a shortage when there is none? I think we would lose credibility with our customers, with the public, if we were to declare a shortage when there isn't. I kind of called it a phony declaration of a shortage when there isn't. So I think we should avoid such things. If you want to continue promoting water conservation, which I absolutely agree with, we should do it. And that's all supported in the water shortage contingency plan, even at what it does include in the report as a stage zero, which is no shortage. Thank you.
Thank you, President Martin. Any other questions, comments from directors? Okay, so we are considering deactivating the stage two ordinance altogether. Is there a motion?
Almost motion.
Okay. Is there a second? No further questions and comments from directors. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozohowski.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes, and I'd like to thank Mr. Dickens for making the modifications to the staff report to make it consistent with the resolution.
Thank you. This item does pass, and that's resolution number SCV-365.
Thank you, directors. We will move on to item 6.1, approve adopting a sustainability action plan. Again, this is going to be presented by Mr. Matt Dickens. Mr. Cole, any opening remarks before we move to Mr. Dickens?
No, we'll go ahead and jump to Matt's presentation. I believe we have consultants online too that helped in the preparation of the plan. So as we get to discussion and things, we'll have that ability to access them as well.
All right. So thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Dickens, go ahead.
Yeah, just briefly want to thank President Martin for capturing those edits and providing them to me while he's recovering. That's very impressive. I had a professor in college that taught right after having heart surgery, and I remember how impressed I was by that. Being in the hospital convalescing gives you time to search for those things. So I appreciate that, President Martin. Members of the SCV Water Board of Directors, again, I'm Matt Dickens, Sustainability Manager, and I'm joined on tonight's call with consultants from Rincon Consultant Group, Ryan Gardner and Lauren Cullen. Maybe perhaps they can introduce themselves real quick.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm Ryan Gardner. I'm our Director of Climate Action and Implementation, and led the project team on the consultant side, supporting Matt and his team. I'll kick over to Lauren.
Everyone, I'm Lauren Coller, working with Ryan, Sustainability Planner on the team. Happy to be here.
Thank you, guys. I really want to take an opportunity to recognize the amount of work and professional expertise and support that our team has, not just the folks from Rincon, but our internal stakeholders, our community and our board and our committee. So I'm going to talk about our sustainability plan. Next slide, please. So the presentation objectives tonight are to have an overview of the planning process, to provide a review of the plan components, to receive and respond to questions and comments from our board, and then for board consideration and approval of sustainability plan. We've got a brief presentation here, as well as a staff report that I've provided and a copy of the plan for your review in the packet. Next slide, please. So with that, to accomplish our objectives, we'll have an introduction. We've kind of done a little bit of that there, but I'll dive a little bit further into those details here momentarily. We'll take a look at the climate sustainability plan, which is, I think there's been some comments on what is sustainability, what is climate action, and how do those things kind of integrate or feather into our sustainability plan roadmap and our efforts. So with that, we'll have overview, benefits, energy and GHG inventory and forecasting, and then measures and recommendations. We'll conclude with next steps in terms of the process following, should the board take action to approve the plan. And then we'll conclude with questions and comments. Next slide, please. So again, you've got this awesome looking crew up here on the screen. But other than myself, of course, this picture was taken before COVID. So please bear with me. But our team included myself, Julia Groth, who is one of our water conservation specialists, Ryan Gardner with Rincon, Erica Lennard, and Lauren Coller, and other folks from Rincon Consultants. But the support doesn't stop there. We have additional input from SCV Water staff. That includes folks from sustainability, water resources, input from operations, input from engineering, administration, IT, as well as input from the public, as input from our committees and our boards. This plan has seen the agency and met it well. Next slide, please. So looking at those milestones, the sustainability planning process kind of started with the adoption of the SCV Water 2019 strategic plan, in which there were elements that talked about sustainability in key practices, but then also there were components that talked about it kind of indirectly through energy efficiency, water conservation, and other greenhouse gas emissions and the optimization of the agency's renewable energy assets. And so Those components kind of directed us to start looking at what opportunities do organizations like SCV Water have. And so we launched a capstone project with USC grad students from the Sol Price School of Public Policy, who conducted a USC SCV Water capstone collaboration to kind of identify some smart practices that agencies of our size, of our design and our function might incorporate to get started down this pathway towards sustainability. What we've learned is that sustainability is not flipping a switch, but rather an intricate series series of steps and strategic efforts over the long term. So secondly, we needed to get buy-in from folks. We need to share the word, create champions, and we launched the Green Team in 2019. In 2020, we had our initial internal analysis. Now, the American Water Works Association does provide some fundamental components for water agencies at looking at sustainability from its framework, and they usually talk about 5 to 7 different criteria: waste management, contracting, workforce, water consumption, conservation, energy conservation, transportation, and those types of sectors. And we went through that internally, that test internally, and did quite a bit of a criterion analysis to understand what types of measures we were already implementing, which were quite a few, which is good. That's a good outcome of the effort, is that you kind of look at all the things we're already doing, right? From a framework of sustainability. And then we also looked at opportunities that had some sort of smart outcome or some sort of cost effectiveness outcome. But what we realized is that it's quite a big effort. It's quite a big lift. And we think that taking this knowledge, taking these efforts that we conducted internally would be very, very helpful and very informative to a process that working with a professional consultant. So that's when we met with Rincon and we procured the contract to develop the sustainability plan in 2021. 2022, we went to the Water Resources and Watershed Committee. We had a public workshop and a board workshop, all to help us inform the components, the pillars, the strategies, the language, lexicon of what's going to be incorporated in the plan, the room, if you will, that the plan would operate in. And then in 2023, we took that plan and went through an internal staff review. We certainly wouldn't want to go to another department and say, hey, look at all these things that you now get to do in the name of sustainability. So we wanted to make sure that it vented through those stakeholders and that it was feasible. And what were the timelines? What were the schedules? And then we completed the draft plan, and we went to public comment with a 30-day public comment period. We did receive 2 comments on that relating to cloud seeding and what the definition of sustainability is. So a couple of opportunities still to kind of work on what is the definition of sustainability. There is one, but it has a spherical perspective, meaning that depending on where you're standing in the sphere, you might see it a little differently. Anyway, with that, we went to our committee, and the committee approved forwarding the plan to this body for consideration. And here we are tonight. Next slide, please. So about climate action planning, we can see that there's quite a bit of legislation that exists. AB 32 codified the statewide goal to reduce GHG emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. SB 32 requires the state of California to achieve statewide reduction in GHG emissions by 40% below 1990 levels by 2030. So you can start to see that first you get your foot in the door and you establish a accomplishable goal, and then you start realizing really inside that room what the needs really are, and you start defining those more and more and getting a better understanding. Executive Order B35-18 establishes statewide goal of carbon neutrality by 2045. The state recognizes that water agencies as a large energy emission contributor and consider water agencies important partners in achieving these standards statewide. We have climate action planning has a sole role in agencies' long-term planning, including integrated regional water management, hazard mitigation planning, water supply reliability planning, and water conservation programs. So again, feathering together this robust amount of planning efforts, initiatives, all in the desire and the goal and objective to accomplish our mission today and tomorrow at the same levels for our customers. Next slide, please. So there's lots of benefits to climate action planning or sustainability planning, including grant funding. This improves our scoring with federal state grants who look for sustainability plans or sustainability and climate action plans or some form and iteration of this planning process. It improves our scoring and eligibility for those grants, moves us up the list, if you will. It identifies energy efficiencies and savings potential. So it has cost effectiveness and process efficiencies. It also looks at perhaps creating future CEQA streamlining opportunities, and then enhances sustainability of operations. Again, it supports efforts that we've already undertaken, supports our strategic plan, and also helps us accomplish energy efficiency, water efficiency for our customers, better service for our customers, all distilled down to quantifiable reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. Next slide, please. So our project schedule has these six levels. We've got our baseline inventory. That's where we take a look at our GHG forecasts, our baseline, and forecasting out with business as usual. Then we look at the adopting a target. Well, I'd take a step back. One of the things in the forecasting that's very important outcome, I can't express how important this is because it's such a strategic component of achieving carbon neutrality, and that is that the effects of SB 100 on the source mix for California energy production to make it 100% renewable, which for us is such a significant component of our strategy that really helps us identify where we should be putting our resources and efforts and investments. So, you know, understanding those natural effects on our energy consumption and water for the water service delivery is very important. Again, we adopt targets, we selected strategy selections, funding and implementation schedule, and then we monitor and track progress, all with the goal of taking that information to inform decisions and to help the agency prioritize its strategies and in its efforts. Next slide, please. So our baseline inventory kind of has three different scopes, scope one, scope two, and scope three. Let me get on my computer here because I can't read that from here. So scope one are direct emissions from sources owned and controlled by SCV, such as natural gas, propane, and gasoline consumption. Scope two are emissions from power plants supplying electricity purchased by SCV for use as its facilities. And scope three are indirect emissions occurring as a result of SCV operations, such as commuter vehicle trips and construction emissions. As you can see to the table on the right, we can get a really good understanding of what the source of our scope one, two, and three emissions are and what percentage of our total GHG emission profile they comprise. Next slide, please. So when we take a look at forecasting, we consider that our entity or any entity would continue operating in the same environment at the same level today as it would to full build out, except that it would have growth associated with it. And we call this business as usual forecasting. And that's important for us to kind of look at what we would do, what our GHG emissions, what our energy consumption, water production might look like if the agency were to have a laissez-faire approach, assuming ceteris paribus, all things being equal, that it continues into the future at the same level and rate today, but with growth. Next slide, please. So this chart shows us, I've explained the baseline, which is the blue dotted line. The business as usual forecast is the green line. We have our adjusted forecast, which is the purple dashed line. And so our plan starts to look at how do we get from that purple dashed line to the blue line, which would be neutral carbon emissions. That would be the objective. That's the delta of which our plan is hoping to accomplish. What's amazing about that is, again, look at the impact on GHG emissions just by SB 100 with that from the blue baseline or the green line down to the purple dash line. That's significant. That's because of the source energy mix will be 100% renewable. Next slide, please. So our recommendations for scope one, we had four measures. Those are identified in the plan. Scope two had two measures, and scope three emissions had four measures. What the plan doesn't do, and I think this is important for the board to recognize, is while the plan provides a fundamental foundation and roadmap for us to move forward in certain measures in certain sectors, what it doesn't do is specify those and to what level and to what cost, recognizing that the information we have today may be incomplete on the types of information decisions that we would make at the time we choose to implement those measures. So in this case, those solutions and those pathways would be evaluated by staff to find the most cost-effective solutions available to us throughout the implementation period. And again, our co-benefits here that we have reliable, resilient operations, high quality water and resource sustainability, cost effective and efficient, are transparent and accountable. All of these align with us improving our capability to provide our mission sustainably today and tomorrow. Next slide, please. Okay. So our next steps are to submit plan to SCV Water Board for consideration and adoption. Hello, the plan is here for consideration and adoption. we're at the target there. Develop implementation strategies, priorities, and cost-effectiveness protocols. I just spoke about that in the implementation process. Procure consultant support for service provision. We don't specifically know what those service provisions are, but they might include things like conducting energy facility audits of our facilities, conducting HVAC evaluations and other types of evaluations of our energy using equipment. It might be something that our transportation folks in our fleet might be looking at. So again, there's going to be consultant support to try to optimize those solutions before this agency chooses which path to move. And this is a really big important thing, is the use of CAPDASH, an annual report to track progress of GHG measure implementation. Two great outcomes from this. Well, I guess there'd be three. One is we get our foot in the door with sustainability. Two, we're now able to measure and monitor our carbon emissions, our energy consumption, and put it into a single repository with the framework of looking at efficiency and effectiveness. That's huge. We haven't been able to quantify that or quantified it to the state. So other than like through budget kind of perspective and those types of things, this is a very important step for us. And then thirdly, I think it allows us to track performance. That's another key measure, and understanding again how nature will change the GHG output of our energy consumption in the future. Okay, last slide. Next slide. The last slide's the next slide's the last slide. Aha. I was looking at my computer, which is not controlled by our friend over there. and that's to recommend the SCV Water Board of Directors adopt the 2023 SCV Water Sustainability Plan. And with that, again, I want to thank our team, our stakeholders, our consultants, our staff, you, our committee work, our board work, for getting us here to this discussion tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions or comments you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Dickens. Jonathan, are there any virtual questions, comments from the public?
Seeing none.
Thank you. Any questions from public in attendance? Seeing none. Directors, questions and comments? Director Armitage.
Thank you. So I have some kind of general things I want to say, and then I do have some specific questions and comments. So just generally first, I'm really glad to see this back in front of the board. I feel like it's been a while since we were given the preview. And I will say, I walked away from that preview feeling like it was a little narrow. And I feel like this report is much more comprehensive, and it feels more like all the pieces are there. So I'm really glad to see that. So thank you for everybody who's worked on this. You know, you mentioned this during your presentation, but I made a note when I was reading the report, the note about how water agencies are the largest contributors, or maybe one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions in California. So, you know, it is especially important that water agencies like ours implement this type of plan and be part of the solution. So that's why I'm so excited to see this in front of us. You know, you mentioned the grant funding. I do think that's a huge, huge benefit that hopefully we'll be able to get more grant funding because of this plan. So I think that's a huge plus. You know, and it makes me proud to be a part of a board of an agency who's taking these proactive steps and kind of getting an early foot in the door with this and being a leader. So I think that's a huge plus. I was pleased to see that the board will be getting an annual update on progress. That's what it says in the plan. and that it sounds like it'll be revised every 5 years. I think that's a good thing too. So I was happy to see that. And I just want to note that I think this is another really good example of how our multiple departments of this agency just coordinate so well together and work really well together. And I think this is another way that we're seeing this being carried out. So kudos to all of you for the great coordination in the planning stages, which I think is really important, as you mentioned, right? My last general comment is, as a Bruin, I will mute my bias and just say kudos to the students for being involved. It's always exciting to me to see when students are drawn into any part of the work that we do. I think it's a win-win on both sides. It's a win for us. It's a win from them to get some experience under their belt. So I was really glad to see that. So anytime we can include students, even from USC, I think it's a good thing. Okay, specific comments or questions. On page 11, there's a section on regional impacts. Let me see if I can go quickly to that. It's page 11 of the report. I would just ask, if it was me writing this, I would add a bullet point also about the increase in evapotranspiration rates. I think that's an important component that leads to increased demand. So that's that. Page 41, it states that SCV Water has an appliance rebate, which I'm not aware of. So I'm wondering if that was kind of boilerplate language that maybe needs to be revised. Do we? Why do I not know that? Okay, well then strike that. So I'm glad to know that now. Thank you. Page 49. Let's see, page 49. Oh, so it talks about the cap dash. And so I was curious to know a question about that. I was curious to know how that was selected as a tool, or have other agencies or utilities, are they using that? Do you want me to just keep going with my questions? Or do you want to take them one at a time?
We have our consultants on the call who, I believe the cap dash tool is a proprietary tool that they developed. So,
okay.
But I may be wrong about that. So maybe one of our, Ryan, could comment there on this use of a cap dash.
Let's go question answer. I think that'll be best.
Okay.
Yeah, I can answer that. That CapDash is a proprietary tool that Rincon has developed for our clients who do climate action planning. And it's been adopted by quite a few water agencies, including Metropolitan, Coachella Valley, and I think a few others, as well as probably a dozen cities or so.
Great. Thank you. Another question is, why was 2020 used as baseline data year?
I can take that one again. That was the most recent data year when we started the project. So I believe we started in 2021 or so. And that was the most recent
first
data.
Full year of data that we had. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And then just a couple more. In the appendix C on page 7. I can't find my appendices, so I'll just read my notes. On page 7, there's an action TR-1-3, if that's right, that talks about a possible rebate for electric vehicles for, I think it's for employees. I would just add e-bikes to that to encourage bike riding. I know a couple lines below that, they were talking about making the workplace a little more friendly for bike riders coming in to have a place to change your clothes and possibly shower, which I think is a great idea to encourage more bike riding. But if we're expecting people to ride up that crazy hill, we need to give people money for e-bikes. So I would just add e-bikes to that. And they're a big thing right now. So that's that. And then Appendix C, page 8, W-1-5. I think it's something about purchasing policy, making a more sustainable or environmentally friendly purchasing policy, something like that. And I would just love to see specific language in terms of also eliminating single-use plastics and kind of tied into that. And then my last question you already answered was about if there was any public comment, and you answered that. Do they want cloud seating? What was the cloud seating comment about?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Director Armitage.
So one of the questions I had on my list, but you already answered, was there any public comment made during the 30-day yes. public comment period? And you said one was about cloud seating and one was what was the definition of sustainability? Right. I'm just kind of curious about the cloud seating question.
Just whether or not, and I could get the specific language for you, that's but it's okay. whether or not we've partnered with agencies to consider cloud seeding.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. That's it. Thank you. Good work.
Thank you, Director Armitage. And just want to confirm on our consultants that we were able to capture those specific comments that were made. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Goodside.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the long time that we've been working on this and the involvement of all the different departments. I emailed some questions, which I will ask, but also some that came up during the presentation. First of all, did the committee have any feedback on this? Did this come out of committee unanimous support or?
Yes. So as chair of the committee, we had couple of stipulations, and one stipulation was captured. It's on page 235 of your board packet, page 2, paragraph 1 on the plan. Last sentence was added. I'll read it. While the sustainability plan highlights opportunities for more efficient operations, nothing in this plan supersedes SCV's water's core mission of reliability and service consistency. So although, we definitely have an eye on sustainability and our efforts to eliminate our carbon footprint, we certainly committee felt that we did not want to restrict our process in terms of providing reliable and safe water to our ratepayers. Yeah. So that language is in the plan now. And thank you, Mr. Dickens and staff for adding that.
Okay, I'm going to do my specific notes from the presentation. I saw the comment about the fleet reductions, and I was actually all excited that we are going to hear about our fleet recommendations in an upcoming meeting. We heard it at finance. That actually, well, to cut to the chase, they recommend purchasing fueled vehicles prior to the mandate to electric. Do you know that, and is that fine with the plan?
Mm-hmm. We are aware of their current activities to update and upgrade certain vehicles mm-hmm. before CARB regulations. And so our plan, again, looks out over the long term. And so we can certainly amend and adapt our plan if those issues or those measures might not be in the certain timeline or implementation of the plan. So the plan gives us the roadmap to move in the right direction,
okay.
but also the flexibility to address those issues as they happen. And so okay. there's nothing that we see that fleet is taking action on these that would preclude the effective implementation of our plan.
Okay, good. What happens, just really big picture, I mean, it's terrific that the state going to clean electricity would cut our emissions by 84%. What happens when they don't meet that goal? Like, do we look like bad people, or do we just say, sorry, we guessed wrong? I mean, what do we, I actually heard that President Biden also went for sustainable energy efficiency very recently. It was just announced today, I think by 2030, but how does, what happens to us? We have a plan. It seems a little over optimistic to me to say that we have this tremendous savings based on the state going to clean energy. And then it's, you know, offshore wind farms, it's everything very optimistically when they can't even build the second canal. So, So how do we, is it,
are we stranded?
I mean, it just seems like, do we look silly assuming that the state is going to hit that when it's very optimistic?
Well, I think that the, and I would like the consultant to Ryan to add to this, but I think that at this point in time, we have no reason to think that the state's not going to meet that target based off of what its outline and what it's approved and what its plans are. It's very likely that it doesn't follow to plan, right? There's the plan and there's reality.
Yeah.
Our plan allows us to adapt and to take that information in real time and employ it into our analysis and make decisions. And so as we approach the horizon, I imagine we'll have a better, clear understanding of whether the state is going to make those and meet those goals. And then if they're not, then we can adjust our plan to take that into account.
Okay. So it's like a rolling plan, and maybe just like water planning, it's best available information that we have today.
I believe that's right.
Okay. And I see Brian nodding. Yeah. I mean, it just seems extremely optimistic to get all that other stuff that they want.
That could very well be the case.
Yeah. But as long as the understanding today and that we're presenting this, that, you know, that's not our, we're not liable for that. We were told it's going to happen and we're going to write our plan accordingly. And if it changes, it will change. That's it. I think how I'd like to look at it. The reporting to, I was going to ask, I mean, we're not reporting to CARB or anything, right? Cause CARB has some mandatory greenhouse gas reporting that is like requires separate auditing and all that. This is completely internal or a database, but it's not a regulatory database, this reporting of our inventory.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. I do have a slight concern with it being a proprietary database. We see that with the accounting software all the time, that then when we want to switch suppliers, that's a big giant cost. I would like to see us, you know, purchase the rights to use that without, I'd like to look at the cost. When we get into proprietary databases, then anytime we need to switch or we switch consultants, it's expensive.
Okay.
And we see that. So look at the contract language on that. All right, going to my specific comments, which I did email, and I think you probably saw, right? Okay, so the sustainability plan to me appears to be 90%. Greenhouse gas reduction. I don't see anything about other sustainability, such as defined, which is three main pillars of sustainability include the environment, social responsibility, and economic. Sustainability consists of fulfilling the needs of current generations without compromising the needs of future generation. Balancing economic growth, environmental care, and well-being, social well-being. Even the narrow definition on environmental sustainability is the ability to maintain ecological balance in our planet's natural environment and conserve natural resources to support the well-being of current and future generations. This is all about greenhouse gas. Can we say that it's a greenhouse gas sustainability plan or emission reduction sustainability plan? I'm uncomfortable calling it a sustainability plan, period, when we're leaving out all the other pillars of sustainability. Mm. Would that be okay?
Director Goodside, I saw the comment, and I do appreciate the multiple definitions. We also went through that exercise and kind of looking at it, as I was mentioning before, kind of sustainability has a definition, but its application is spherical, in which you look at it from different frames, it means different things to different folks in terms of what that continuity of sustainability is. The greenhouse gas component of this is simply the universal kind of metric of which we're using to take all the different sources of inputs to understand their outputs in a single metric. So in that sense, while it definitely has climate action components to it, or climate action planning components, or greenhouse gas management components to it, it does feather in with sustainability as a fundamental concept and philosophy of the agency's business practices. However, with that said, I do not see initially this plan was branded the Sustainability and Climate Action Plan. Mm-hmm. And that's something that the committee at the time had questions regarding. And so we called it the Sustainability Plan to maintain the path forward. And so if the board wants to add those names to the definition or the title of the plan, I defer to the board.
Well, and I'll just give a little background. I worked on ISO 14000 programs and a lot of other programs that consider things like, you know, vendor profiles, your inputs, like your raw material purchases, include, you know, organizational sustainability may even go into like succession planning and things like that. And that's not talked about. So I feel like when I go, oh, let's look at the sustainability plan, I know that it's not including things that I would expect in a organizational sustainability plan. And so I think either we could use an introduction that says why we're focusing on that, or a title about, you know, climate sustainability, something that a reader isn't expecting to see the other components addressed. They're just realizing that this is a focus on sustainability. I do think an entire sustainability plan, it would be very complex and difficult to do, and that this is a good start and a measurable start, but the others, it's a mess. I also did it for Anheuser-Busch. They're green, and you said single-use plastics. Oh my gosh, that's a whole quagmire of stuff to look at. So yeah, there's a lot to do. I would like to see that it indicated that the focus is on climate for whatever reason you want to state. I think, let's see. Oh, yeah. Is there any guidelines for these plans? You've mentioned, and I know Mr. Cole mentioned that this helps with grant funding. Is it just you should have a sustainability plan, or we want to see you have a climate action plan? Are there any criteria? I mean, somebody could write up a one-page thing and say, this is our sustainability plan, and say, hey, we've got one. Or is there some template that we're trying to meet with this?
When we scoped the sustainability plan with RENCON, we did incorporate components from our grant administrator that we wanted to make sure that we ticked the boxes to improve the scoring of the plan. So those criteria was considered in the development of the scoping.
Okay. So there is some boxes that we are aware of that we're ticking.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. And then I guess just the last thing, there's a lot in here about cost effective, but did we look at costs, or is it just, it should be cost effective if we're going to proceed?
It's a core principle of the analysis component that we look for cost effective, whether it be through life cycle costing estimations of future devices, recommissioning, any type of measure. We want to make sure that we go through the cost effectiveness approach so that those decisions pan out and those investments meet our financial sustainability requirements.
Okay, so that is incorporated, because, and you also said life cycle. So again, the issue with going electric and battery storage particular now is the sources for the elements in like battery packs, disposal of those battery packs. There's a whole environmental impact with battery packs and potentially a cost impact. If that turns out to be either an environmental negative or a cost negative, we are allowed to say it didn't meet our criteria. We're not doing this.
We'd be compelled to conduct that analysis
before we do it.
I believe that would be
okay. So we're not committing to them right now.
We wouldn't want to say, well, we're working on a battery storage project specifically, but I think that the whole life cycle costing analysis, we're compelled to conduct that so that we make smart decisions for the agency and recommendations for the agency.
Mm-hmm. And same, would we consider sustainability, like net environmental impact? Or is that a different type of plan that we're not looking at now? Like we would reduce carbon, but maybe, you know, the social justice side of it, the cost between, let's just say, purchasing batteries from China, shipping it over here, disposing of it in a hazardous waste landfill when it goes bad, that's net environmental impact. Would that be considered too? Mm-hmm. Or is part... I mean,
you can certainly add specific language to incorporate a full environmental analysis. I believe that we would, again, be compelled to do so when those decisions are being made. Otherwise, you're not really looking at the,
right,
the facts in front of you. So we wouldn't want to omit something in order to p-hack the analysis or to skew the analysis.
Right. So can we include some language on that too about, and I don't know, it may already be in there, but you know, that we're going to evaluate costs and net environmental impact
to the best in
more
detail
before going. Yeah. Cause I would feel better about that. Sure. And yeah, cause everything, once you start digging into it, is more complex than you think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Goodside.
Director Cooper.
Thank you, Vice President Orzovsky. Matt, I want to thank you for putting this together, and RENCON and staff that's all worked on this. This has been a long process, and it's getting there. And I appreciate Maria's comments. Is, you know, as a board, we need to look at this from the 30,000 foot level, and look at, are we putting together a plan, not the details of that plan, but we're authorizing the plan. And the nice thing about it is it says it's coming back to us every year, and it's not written in stone. So we can make changes anytime we want to make changes in it as things progress. And there really wasn't a template for this. This is kind of like the groundwater sustainability plan. Is everybody in the state had to put one together, but there was really no, there was a minor template for that one, but even less for this. So I think what they've put together and what they presented at Water Resources and Watershed Committee has been very good. I think it's a good starting point for us. We take a look at it in a year and see where we're at and what needs to be added into it. And I think it gives Matt and his people some time to really dig into the details once it's enacted of what needs to be in there. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the work that's in it. And with that, can I make a motion to approve the recommendation? I can't do it till Beth is done.
Thank you, Director Cooper.
I remember the last meeting, Beth.
Director Rothstein.
Thank you. And I appreciate you waiting.
I'll wait.
I just wanted to make sure that I thank Mr. Dickens and the whole team, because to me, this is really what I think defines us as an agency, where we develop these things that are above and beyond, and we are constantly striving to do better and to be better. So I really, really admire that. And I love that it's a roadmap versus exact details, because as science evolves, as technology evolves, like, we need to be able to, you know, move and do whatever we need to do. So I really, really appreciate it. I also would like to echo the things that actually all three other directors said. And I also had an issue with the title. And I think that we are going to be finding ourselves wanting to have many different sustainability plans. So if this could be the climate action sustainability plan, and then we could have different types of sustainability plans, because I think that it, once again, when you go and you look at it, titles usually are there so you know what you're reading. And I really think it's more of a, you know, a sustainability, but like climate sustainability and greenhouse emissions and all that kind of stuff. So that would be my only big thing, but I love the additions that everybody here recommended to add on. I think that they are all very important.
Can whoever makes the motion include that title? Or we can discuss it.
Well, let's discuss this. Mr. Dickens and vendors on the call, the target audience here, I assume everybody wants this to be included with our grants, grant applications. Target audience is Sacramento legislature and their staff and DC and their staff. Is that correct?
I'll jump in if I can on that one. Yeah, I'd say it's more so than the staff. It's the agency's staff. So like Bureau of Reclamation and those types of agencies that put out the grant applications.
Okay. And then we've spoke with those agencies, and we've determined that this is the most appropriate title in order to add this to our grant applications.
The title is not the. The theater of operations, I think, is more important than the specific title. The Sustainability Climate Action Plan, Climate Action Sustainability Plan, Sustainability Plan. I think that as long as it meets those fundamental criteria, then it's meeting their objectives of their scoring criteria.
Okay. I would recommend that we stay as broad as possible and not change the title. And then just like Director Cooper mentioned, this is going to be brought up again to us every year. And any lessons learned, we can adjust at any point in time between now and you know, and that due date. Vice President could say.
I mean, how do we resolve the issue that if somebody is looking for a true sustainability plan, that it's not all inclusive? If not in the title, then in the like first sentence, say that, because it doesn't say that in there, but this is SCV Water's plan to obtain sustainability on emissions or climate action sustainability or whatever you say. Like, if you don't want to modify the title, I think it should be very clear in the first page you look at that, oh, this is why they're not talking about organizational sustainability or social justice or other things that may be in a traditional sustainability plan, because it is, I mean, that was my first impression when I looked at the plan. And I said this when it came to the board for scoping, what about all the other things that you see in other organizations' sustainability plan? People that read sustainability plans will notice that it doesn't have the other things unless we explain why it doesn't have the other things. So if you don't want it in the title, how can you propose something that would be acceptable?
Well, I would refer to our staff and experts, and Vice President Good said you are an expert on the subject, so your comments are highly valuable here. Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I think this discussion's great. I mean, I think all the points made are really good. I do think we can include something in the kind of the intro section that kind of addresses this look at sustainability, right? Because I do think as an agency, to Director Bronstein's point, you know, we use the word sustainable and a lot of people do it as kind of interchangeable with a lot of things. I think as an agency, you'll start to see us try and work at defining what it means for us. This is a step in that direction. You know, we're also starting to use terms like resiliency and the overlap of those things are
reliability
and reliability. And so I do think it'll be a, you know, a worthwhile exercise as an agency to try and walk through and just understand what those terms mean to us and how we're trying to achieve them. So I don't see any issues with kind of really providing clarity in the intro section of this document that this is, you know, kind of our our look at sustainability through the measurement of emissions and our ability to achieve progress in that way. So, but I would really leave it up to the board for what they thought was best on that.
Madam Secretary, I cannot see whether President Martin has his hand up. Does he? Okay, President Martin.
He does. President Thank Martin, you, there you go.
Yeah, I do have my hand up. Thank you, Vice President Ozahowski. You know, kind of in response to Maria's comment about cost effectiveness, I did raise that question at committee. It's an almost unanswerable question. If you were to ask, if you were in the old days, we would say, what's the cost benefit of doing this? There's probably no answer, but my question to Matt at this point, just as an observation, not that I would base my decision on supporting the effort. I do think it's a worthy effort. I intend to support it. But is this not a compilation of mandated programs that are already imposed on the water agency? Or is this introduced any new program that isn't already a state mandate or maybe even a federal mandate for that matter? Because I think, again, to the cost effective question, I think the answer is we can determine small letter cost effective, meaning each individual step we take, each vehicle we buy perhaps should be done in a cost effective manner. But is the program itself overall cost effective, a cost effective action to take for our ratepayers? And my sense is that the electric train, so to speak, has already gone down the track on all this stuff. And we just, this effort is to organize the agency's effort to execute on programs that are already mandated and to do the best we can at execution on those. So Matt, again, is this a compilation of steps that we take to be in compliance with state mandated programs, or are we doing anything that's not already mandated by whatever new or recent or older legislation that's already been passed by our legislators in Sacramento?
Thank you, President Martin, for the question. It's a good one. It's a great point on the cost effectiveness and the life cycle costing. I would say, and I'm going to defer to Ryan, but I believe that the plan kind of is a mixed bag of innovation plus responding to requirements and mandates. So I think it leverages and complements, I don't want to say, I feel weird saying complements mandates, but it kind of does. It takes those into consideration in terms of understanding the range of options that the agency might want to implement, considering those changes and mandates that are occurring. So with that, though, specifically on those measures and components to meeting the mandates, I would defer to Ryan, maybe provide some additional context.
Yeah, Matt, I think you kind of nailed it with it's a mix. There are definitely a lot of state mandates. So you can think of the Advanced Clean Fleets rule that we're starting to deal with and needing to start electrifying our fleet. But that's not every vehicle, right? So we have some of that Advanced Clean Fleet language in here, but we're also going to start looking at passenger vehicles and other things. And when we start to look at costs, it's easy to start thinking, okay, like an electric vehicle is going to cost more. It's going to increase our costs, going to increase costs to ratepayers. But when we look at that on a long-term operational basis, electric vehicles tend to be less expensive on a life cycle basis because we don't have to do oil changes and transmission services, and we don't have to put gas in them, and electricity is a lot cheaper. So there are some, we don't have enough specific projects in this climate action plan or sustainability plan to say, this is going to be the cost for this vehicle. So we have to kind of look at the high level and say, you know, in general, electrification of vehicles looks like a cost-effective process over the life cycle. And then we also look at things like SB 100, and that's going to help us say, okay, the state is already going to be doing this work. The utilities are doing this work. It's maybe not a great idea for us to prioritize building a bunch of solar right now. And we can put that money into some other processes. So it is a mixture. It's starting to take the state requirements and rolling that into your operations and trying to find the best way to do that cost effectively. And then also starting to look ahead for carbon neutrality and say, okay, how do we start planning for this now? Get out ahead of this, maybe get ourselves some rebates and some incentives before it becomes mandatory, because those incentives tend to go away once it's a requirement. So it's kind of fitting all those pieces together into one strategy.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. So we have, we have three options here. We can table this and see what the additional content can be added. We can change the title upon a motion. We can add an intro to the plan, which stipulates what's the focus of this particular plan. Mr. Dickens, what is our time frame here?
Well, we're hoping to get this adopted, and I believe that we have just from my understanding, we have enough information here to add the comments, the specific comments into the plan if the board wanted to make the option of adopting the plan based off of contingent on those comments being incorporated into the preface and other components. So, but in terms of timeline, we're scheduled for this month. It's been a year and a half process. We'd like to get this accomplished, but there is no specific requirement that I know of that says you have to have this in by such and such a date. However, there may be grants on the horizon that certainly have timelines that we want to get this finalized and adopted so we can take advantage of those points on the grant writing process.
Right. That's my follow-up question here. In terms of grant process, how soon can we add this plan to our application? The moment it's being approved, or do you still need a couple of weeks to work on it?
Once it's adopted by the board, we have an adopted plan.
And is there a specific grant that's awaiting this approval?
I'd have to check with our grant administrator. I'm not exactly sure.
Director Gooper.
One suggestion might be is that staff take the plan back. They've heard the comments from some of the board members. Look at which ones are appropriate and which ones aren't. Add those into the plan, put it in for the next meeting under the consent calendar. We've all heard the presentation, and we just bring it back under the consent calendar and take. But let staff look at the changes that people have suggested and see whether they're appropriate or not.
Are there any objections from directors in going that route?
Are we talking about next week? Yeah, I just want them to understand, like, that they had a week.
It'll probably be the following meeting, just to.
So in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or whatever. However.
Is April there?
Yeah, it wouldn't make this board. I know it would have to be the first, so August 1st.
And if people see in the consent calendar the item and you have comments that you'd like to make, send them to staff. Let's not do them here at the board meeting. Let's send it to staff and let them take a look at it ahead of time.
Okay. Any objections from directors?
As long as it's okay with staff to wait another 3 weeks.
Director Armitage.
Yeah. What's the concern? Why? I don't understand. Like, honestly, if like the things that I threw out, if they don't get included, I'm okay with it going forward. I don't know why we're delaying. I don't understand what the concern is with not approving it tonight.
Director Armitage, you brought up some comments that you want to be included in the plan. And so has Vice President Gutzeit. That's the reason for the delay, for the staff to assess whether those particular items should be added or not.
Okay. Well, I mean, if staff decided not to add them, I'd still be okay with the document going forward the way it is, because they were just kind of loose recommendations.
I'm okay with it if you either call it the sustainability plan for climate action, or a climate action sustainability plan, or if you really, really don't like that, and with the expert's opinion on how this will be used in grant funding, if that doesn't work, at least like right in the beginning, say this is our sustainability like first sentence, first paragraph for climate action, sustainability. This is our framework. Just so people don't open it and go, where's the rest of it? Either way you do it, I'm fine if it's adopted tonight. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Sorry. You can let Kathy, Ms. Director Armitage, second.
Hold on. Director Bronstein, you want to call that back?
Yeah, I'll call back the seconding.
Right. Director Armitage, do you second?
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Vice President, could you restate the motion, please?
The motion, I believe, is approving adopting the Sustainability Action Plan contingent upon having an introduction stipulating that it focuses on climate vis-a-vis greenhouse emissions or just emissions in general.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And can I get a repeat of who motioned?
Director Cooper and Director Armitage.
Thank you.
Before we go, does President Martin have his hand raised?
He does not.
Okay. Please call the call.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass with those contingencies.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Directors. Thank you, staff, and thank you for consultants. We move to item number 7, strategic planning kickoff meeting. This will be presented by Mr. Ed Means from Means Consulting. Before Mr. Means starts, Mr. Cole, can you just briefly describe what this planning kickoff meeting is all about?
Yes, thank you, Vice President Ozahowski. We're pleased to have Ed here with us tonight. So this is the very beginning of a process that's going to take some time for all involved. I think what you'll see from Ed tonight is kind of a well thought out process for the board to look at and engage with. So we're excited to have Ed back. He did do our first strategic plan when we were a new agency and had just formed. That plan has performed really well. I think you still see it, you know, working today. We put those references in the staff reports, and that plan has done a great job for the agency through these last several years. And I think we're really excited to re-engage and look at what this agency has going forward, and looking at our mission, our vision and mission and values and things like that. So with that, I will let Ed do his magic.
Great, Steve. Thank you, Vice President Ozahowski, members of the board. It's a pleasure to be back before you. Many familiar faces and some new faces. I'm really looking forward to working with you. I've got about 10 slides, kind of overview background, just really context for the kickoff, where, as Steve indicated, we're right at the knee of the curve. We've got 6 months or so of detailed work to do, and this is really intended to just kind of begin to get those juices flowing over the course of the presentation. The next slide, April. I just want to share, for those of you that I haven't had the pleasure of working with, just a little bit of my background, talk about the update to the strategic plan, and just context about the value of strategic planning. Many of you have done these many times before, so I'll try to move quickly through that, but just context, speak to the process that we've laid out in the scope of work, and talk a little bit about the roles of the participants, followed by the schedule, things that we have coming up in the near term, and then open it up for any questions. And obviously any questions you have along the journey here are welcome. So by way of my background, I spent, next slide, please. I spent 18 years with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California in a variety of roles, concluding with as acting general manager. And then in 1999, I went out and into the consulting world, and I've been doing this for about 24 years in consulting. And I'm currently operate as a solo consultant. I've done and assisted dozens of utilities in doing strategic planning and strategic thinking, including many of your peer agencies, including Zone 7, Alameda Zone 7, AVEC, half a dozen of the metropolitan member agencies and agencies across the United States. So I'm hopeful to bring that kind of breadth of experience, this kind of the subject matter expertise, and then just helping utilities think through where they want to go. And so I'm here as a sounding board to help direct you to your destination and not to drive that destination. So I'm truly here as a facilitator of that process, working with you and the staff. So in that journey, I've had a chance to work both on the wholesale and retail side of utilities. I worked with originally Castaic Lake Water Agency, one of your precursor agencies. And then, as Steve mentioned, came in 2019 on your first update for the new, first plan for the new consolidated agency. So it's hard to believe 4 years plus have gone by, and here we are with an actual update. The updates make it a little easier. You're not necessarily starting from scratch, but it does give you a full blank slate to go in any direction that you feel is appropriate. Two final points. Had the opportunity to do some significant kind of fundamental research on the strategic assessment of the future water utilities for the AWWA Research Foundation, Water Research Foundation. And then lastly, just have had the pleasure of being involved in many of the California water issues, including three, actually, if you discount the COVID that interrupted the third one, my COVID case in February, but for the state water contractors. So I've been involved in two of their strategic planning efforts. So a little bit about me, and we'll talk more about that when I have an opportunity to meet individually with you and do interviews and the like. So what I want to then just spend a moment on, next slide, is the benefits to water utilities and doing the strategic planning. So it's really an opportunity for you to step back, revisit the direction, realign as appropriate, or double down and continue pressing in areas that you feel have been established as important priorities. It's an opportunity to document the goals for the agency, which gives uniformity among the board, where you're going as a board, as an agency, provides direction to the staff, aligns the organization in achieving those goals and objectives. And importantly, it can provide you a blueprint in the budget process as you go from year to year, and as a board make decisions about funding, about setting of rates, about resourcing important initiatives that the district may have. So it is an opportunity to really step back, think about all of the things that are going on in this world, these externalities that we have to contend with, ranging from technology to policy, politics, the demographic changes, the energy opportunities, sustainability opportunities, and craft a plan that's reflective of your values ultimately in those areas. One important point, and I'm going to show you here just a kind of a schematic of the strategic planning kind of construct, but the philosophy that I brought to your previous plans and to other clients is to really have the board in charge of setting the direction. And then once you establish that direction, having management in charge of achieving it. And so we set up a system, if we can go to the next slide, that's very hierarchical. And this, you can actually click through on the build. So we start with a vision statement, and your previous vision statement is on the wall over in the corner of the room. The vision statement is designed to lay out where the organization wants to be in the future. It's very aspirational. The mission statement, which supports that vision statement, you'll see in the script along the top of the soffit in the boardroom, providing responsible water stewardship to ensure the Santa Clarita Valley has reliable supplies of high quality water at a reasonable cost. So the whole idea is each of these levels support the level above it. So if you accomplish this mission as you've outlined, you'll achieve the vision. supporting the mission are a set of goals. You have six of them, and we'll be in the part of in reviewing the plan, updating the plan. We'll be asking you about your thoughts. Are those the right goals? Should they be modified? Are there other things that need to be added or deleted? Those goals essentially are your organization-wide desires that support achievement of the mission and then ultimately of the vision. Now, under the goals, we have a set of strategies, and the strategies are the kind of the general approaches that you're going to take to achieve those goals. So again, each level supports the level above it. And if you fire on all cylinders on each of those levels, you achieve ultimately where you desire to go, your vision. And now, importantly, there's the objectives. So the objectives, we write them in a fashion that they are measurable. Right. So it's not philosophical. It's you can check the box at the end of the year, or at the end of the 5-year period. Did you accomplish it or not? That is what we seek to do with crafting good, solid objectives. What that allows you to do is to hold the management team accountable. Right. To hold yourselves accountable. You know, you as a board, you retain the prerogative to make decisions year to year. It's a living document, and its effectiveness depends on you as a board funding those initiatives. Through budget, right? It takes time, people, materials, supplies, money. And so the objectives are measurable. They support the strategies. You achieve the strategies. You achieve the goals. You fulfill the mission. You fulfill the mission. You achieve the vision. And then at the very bottom of this are a set of key performance measures that we build into the plan, things that you want to measure as you go along to ensure effectiveness, assure achievement of the objectives. So that's the basic structure. Two other elements that are important, and you can click through on these if you would, April. The first is we try to have the board establish the big picture direction. So I kind of view it as you're pointing to staff to say, these are the goalposts. This is where we want you as a professional management team to get it. So I try to focus you all, the board, on goals, mission, and vision to make sure those are crafted properly. Now, many of you have deep experience in management of organizations, water and otherwise, and so you'll have insights as we get down into strategies and objectives that we'll capture, right? And we can weave those in. But generally, we try to have you give the management team the direction, and then have the management team own the strategies and objectives, and that way you can hold them accountable for achieving those things, right? So it's a nice little division of labor. And then lastly, in this graphic, we will be discussing with you values, and you have a series of values that were adopted, and it's essentially the behaviors that you're going to insist and that are emulated in your interactions with each other, with the public, staff interactions. We'll review those values with you as we go through this process. Okay. Go one more click. Perfect. And then one more click. So in context for the plan, you spent some time talking about a sustainability plan. You have many other plans, an urban water management plan. You have financial plans. You have a series of sort of mini strategic plans that are topically focused. The strategic plan is designed to be an umbrella over all of those. So we want all of your planning efforts to nest cleanly in an overall set of strategies, right? And so that's our goal. I just really put this up so that there's no confusion. This isn't a substitute for your detailed planning, but it provides a nice umbrella over all the things that you do as an agency, again, seeking to achieve the vision that you are pursuing as an agency. All right. I've only got a few more slides here, so given the hour. So process-wise, we're at the very beginning of it. We're going to be doing a series of interviews. I'll be sitting down individually with you, with the management team. That'll be followed by a series of stakeholder workshops with the staff. There's envisioned public input process as well. We'll be reviewing the documents that you've generated to date that relate to the strategic plan, essentially collecting this information that'll help us populate ultimately those levels that I just laid out. We'll then have a board workshop, a retreat where we'll go through the mission, vision, values, and goals with you and have an opportunity to dig in to the major strategic issues that you feel are important facing the district that you want to make sure you've got good actionable plans in place to address.
Once we have that input, then we can begin drafting the plan elements. We will have review by the management team, of course, and come back to the board for review of the draft plan itself, and then ultimately board approval of the plan. So that's the basic process. It'll occur over a six-month period and provide plenty of time for iteration and discussion of the contents of the plan. So your role in this, what we need from you in order to make this successful, next slide, please. So is essentially to own it, right? The goal is once you have a plan, that's something that you can use as a blueprint for moving forward in your budget processes. Again, gives you the prerogative to establish the appropriate rates and fund or not, but it becomes really a conscious decision, right? If you feel it's important in the plan, you can always decide not to fund it, but you just recognize that that's an area you can't hold staff management accountable for if the resources aren't there, right? It's a beautiful way of just building accountability and transparency and clarity on where you're going and how you're going to get there. You'll be participating in workshops, so you know your candor and best thinking on that, your input on defining the goals for the organization, revisiting those. Once the plan is done, is, you know, supporting the outcome, right? And that's something that both as a board and the management team, you know, is important as you move forward in executing the plan. And lastly, and I mentioned this, is just you revisit it in the budget and readjust as needed. It's a five-year plan. It's, always one of the risks is these appear to be very voluminous. There's a lot of things that are in there, and you're not all going to get it done right in one time. So you got plenty of runway to get those things accomplished as you move forward on it. Okay, what I wanted to do, and just as a way of kind of beginning to get you thinking a little about some of those bigger strategic issues, you know, I've asked you each give a little bit of thought of kind of what you think are kind of three big things that are facing the district. And what I'd like to do is to go through and meet each director, and we'll just do this briefly. And this is preliminary recognized, and we'll come back and, you know, dig into this in great depth. But I want to do it just to get a sense for you to each hear what you feel are big issues, and then for the management team to also, you know, to understand what are major motivating issues for you as a board. And again, things we don't touch on in this conversation, there'll be plenty of time to weave them in as we go forward. So with your permission, Vice Chair Orzechowski, if we might go director by director and give you each an opportunity to give us collectively the three big things that you see are important.
Absolutely. This will be considered part of your presentation. So directors, please refrain from commenting on any items being said by other directors until after the public comment period. Mr. Means, please
very
proceed.
Good. If I may turn it to Director Cooper, we'll just go clockwise and finishing with Director President Martin on virtual.
Thank you, Ed. For some reason, I knew you were going to start here. you know, the one thing that I see, just like we did the sustainability plan, is climate change is affecting us all, and it's huge in the water industry. And I think infrastructure needs, whether that's management of water or physical infrastructure, I see as an absolute important future for our agency. I mean, we've looked at participating in Sites Reservoir. We're looking at what we're doing in the Delta. I think it goes way beyond that. We don't know how bad climate change is really going to be, and preparing for that and developing the infrastructure needs for it, whether it's more groundwater storage in the Central Valley where we have Rosedale Rio Bravo or Semitropic or AVEC now that we're working on. I think those are going to be our key components into meeting the challenges of climate change in the future. You know, we had 4 years water storage when the drought hit us. Actually, we had more than that. And we still had 3 years worth of water in storage before the big rains hit. So we were in good shape. But the only reason we were in good shape is because we had people like Dirk, Bob Sagehorn, Steve Cole, we Matt Stone. We had those people that looked to what the future needs were going to be. I don't think they were looking at climate change. I think they were looking at what the actual needs were. And I see that that has just jumped up to another level, is that we need to meet the infrastructure needs for the future. That's kind of my...
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Director Armitage.
Okay. So what I was prepared with a different list. I misunderstood.
That's okay.
So I apologize. I'm kind of, my brain's trying to work on the fly right now. But what I come up with right now, and my list will probably change if you ask me a little bit, you know, later from now or another day. But what comes to mind now is increased costs, I think, are a big issue. The second thing is multiple groups competing for finite resources statewide. And along the lines of what Director Cooper said for my third one is, I think the uncertainty that climate change brings. I think we're seeing now that a lot of the modeling that many agencies have relied upon isn't quite panning out the way they had hoped. And so there's like a struggle now to figure out what the right modeling is. So those are the top three that come to mind right now.
Good ones. Thanks. Good ones. Thank you. Director Marks.
So I think a major focus or challenge is going to be a water supply resiliency. As others have mentioned, we're faced with multiple challenges. Climate change is certainly one of them. The science of how we predict water quantities available and how we're going to manage water statewide as well as locally, that's a moving target. And so we're going to be needing to position ourselves in a manner that we can make mid-course corrections and also recognize that some of what we do, you know, that might not be ultimately where we end up. With all that uncertainty, it's hard to develop the perfect plan forward when you know it's with when you know you don't know what you know.
Right.
But to see that, and then how do you fund how do you fund the need for additional infrastructure or conservation or whatever path is dictated. And I think the other one will challenge is going to be water quality. And that has implications with respect to the quantity of water. But that water quality in and of itself could have major impacts on our rates and our infrastructure. So those are my three.
Okay, yeah, good ones. Vice President Orzechowski.
Yep, certainly infrastructure needs in Northern California vis-a-vis sites and Delta, just to prepare us for future droughts. Certainly my number one, that'll be my second. My number one is employee retention. I think we have an amazing staff here. I want to make sure that we, you know, keep it that way. And third one, as Director Marks pointed out, is emerging pollutants. And my biggest concern right now is PFAS incineration and what will be the result of that in terms of safe harbor for water agencies. That's it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. Director Goodside or Vice President Goodside.
Yeah. Echo a lot of what was said earlier. A little bit of a spin on that. I have managing and participating in regulatory mandates and costs, because I think that is a huge component of our cost. Cost and budget management. So we know there's costs are coming, a lot that we can spend money on. How do we manage that so that it's not, you know, untenable?
So that it's effective.
Controlled, it's reasonable, it's realistic. And then lastly, communication clarity. I would like to see a continued focus on plain language in board items, plans, and reports. I think we do very good on customer communications, and it's got a lot, you know, award-winning under our past PR person that just left. But all of these challenges need to be communicated when we're voting on items, when we're approving budgets. It needs to be clear why we're doing it to a layperson reading it, because we have a lot of challenges and people need to understand that.
You have an important story to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily a simple story. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Director Ronstein.
Thank you. I feel like we skipped President Martin because he
was going to swing back. Oh,
that's
gonna,
his chair. And I feel like
we're going to move to him after Director Pearson.
I can go now. That's fine. So for me, I was thinking of three, my three main things were sustainability, collaboration, and safety. But sustainability is sustainability of resources, of energy, infrastructure, money, and staff. Collaboration, I'd like to, there's the collaboration that we do interdepartment, which is excellent. And I'd love to see it grow stronger with the city and with our neighbors and our watershed. And then safety is the obviously contaminants in the water, but also emergencies. So like, do we have enough storage? Do we have, you know, are we prepared if we have, when we have, I guess, an earthquake or a fire or some kind of emergency that we need it for? Mm-hmm. And also, safety is also, to me, also accessibility to water, and hoping that, because, you know, water is a basic need and we just want to make sure that everybody has access to it as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, Director Peterson.
I feel like I have to say everything again. first things that came in my mind is water rate stability, which is all discussed earlier with our increasing costs for infrastructure and supply and water quality issues. Next one is asset management. We have a aging system here that is in need of and will need further innovative ideas to maintain its serviceability in this valley, which is of prime importance for this agency, I believe. And then lastly is the workforce retention and training.
Great. Good. President Martin, may turn to you now.
Thank you. Ed, great to see you again, even though it's on a little screen. It was not my intention to do it this way, but let me give you my three points of input that came to mind when I received your email. And the first one kind of tears off things that Ken has already said and Peter has already said. So I think it goes without saying that the quality of our staff is what makes us a successful and effective agency and will what keep us as such. So I do think succession planning and employee development, which feed into employee retention, obviously, are critical areas that we need to keep focus on as long as we don't encroach into an area of the general manager's purview. So that's one item. I'd like to see where we can continue the drive towards the quote-unquote one agency model in all areas. I think the Valencia retail fee is an example of where we're not quite one agency across the board. So that's, and I know there's other areas that I know we've made great efforts, great strides in continuing along this path towards a one agency for all of our customers. And thirdly, we seem to continue to have some disagreements at the policy level on the right blend of debt financing and PAYGO. I'd like to continue those discussions. And we may always have those different views, but I think we need to work towards a broader agreement on those items. So those are my three items, Ed.
Excellent. Thank you, President Martin, and hope we'll see each other in person here soon enough. So you can, Director Cooper.
I didn't know we were doing three. I was just giving you one, but I can give you a couple of others that are in there as well.
Okay.
Is emerging contaminants. Mm-hmm. We've dealt well with perchlorate. We're dealing well with PFAS. The next big one I see coming up are microplastics. And I think we need to be prepared and maybe start doing some research on our own on how we're working with some of the other agencies and how we're going to deal with those. And the other one is just public knowledge is the public seeing us as the responsible water party of the valley, that they understand and that we're keeping them informed. We don't just come along and say, gee, there's PFAS and it's going to cost $100 million. Is we need to bring the public along because there's going to be great costs that are associated with all these. So a public information program that brings the public along in this.
Good ones.
And that's my three.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, you can see the broad array of opportunities, right? Challenges and opportunities. And this is just scratching the surface of it. When I meet with you personally in the interviews, and then as we move into the workshops and the like, we'll want to dig deeper into these. And then you have, obviously other issues that I'm sure are important. We limited it to three in the interest of time, but we'll want to delve into those as well. So keep the thinking cap on in that sense. So, so the interviews are scheduled a couple weeks out. I'll show you the schedule here in just a second. And what we're going to do is what we did 4 years ago is kind of started with just talking about what's working really well, the strengths of the organization, what are some areas that could be improved, weaknesses of the organization that you perceive, where there might be some opportunities that aren't being fully taken advantage of that would be useful to include in the plan and leverage, if you will, and then threats, things that might really be the icebergs in the water out there as the ship sails through the waters. And so with this kind of sort of SWOT approach, SWOT approach, it gives you sort of a broad array of, what things you need to what things you need to double down on. An example was making sure succession planning and maintaining an excellent staff, right? You just want to keep doing the good stuff. To make sure that fires on all cylinders, and then the things that need to be can be tweaked and fixed and the like. And a goal ultimately is to build this into the plan so it provides you a decision point as you go through your budget process over the coming 5 years to make a determination on what's the appropriate allocation of resources at the board level in order for your management team to make those things happen. What I'll do is send out an email in advance of those interviews and summarize that for you, give you kind of tee that up for you. So in terms of schedule, and we're closing out here now. So we've had a kickoff with the management team this morning, the board kickoff here this evening. We'll conduct a SWOT meetings with the staff August 8th through 10th. Sorry, I missed an important one. The board and management interviews are the week of the 24th through the 27th of July. And then we'll have the SWOT meetings with staff August 8th through 10th. There's the idea of having a public workshop that would solicit input on the draft of the plan. And we're still working out exactly where that might
fit in along this process, but there is an intent to make sure that this reaches out and considers input from the public and key stakeholders. There's a strategic planning meeting with the management team that I'll conduct when I get feedback from the staff and the supervisors about sort of internal issues that they have identified. Then we'll have a conduct a board strategic plan workshop where we'll share with you that kind of input, plus have an opportunity to dig into those major big strategic issues where there needs to be policy alignment with the board. That retreat is scheduled for September 8th and 9th. Then we'll step back with the management team, sit down and dig into strategies and objectives. So that's, again, that lower level of the plan, how to operationalize the plan to achieve what the board feels are important goals. And then lastly here, we'll have a presentation of that draft plan to the board for your review and hopefully approval at that point in time. So that's the basic approach through November 21st. So we've got a lot of work to do. You'll be hearing more about that over the coming 5-6 months. And yeah, happy to turn it over for any questions or thoughts. It concludes my presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Means. April, any public comments from virtual attendees?
There is not.
All right. Directors, questions, comments? All right, Mr. Means, we'll look forward to the interviews and to the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Godspeed.
Right. Okay. We move to item number 8, General Manager's Report and Activities, Projects and Programs. This will be presented by Mr. Cole. Mr. Cole, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll keep it very brief. Matt couldn't be here tonight, so I got to be in the hot seat. So I appreciate the board's action on the couple items that we had tonight on this special meeting. Just one thing, wanted to thank Ed for spending time with the management team this morning. We basically foregoed our normal executive team meeting and really focused in on kind of the strategic plan, and Ed probed us on what we were thinking was important, much like he did with you all tonight. One just keen observation, given the succession planning comments, there's basically 9 people in that meeting that we have every 2 weeks at the executive team meeting. 3 of those people weren't there the last time the strategic plan was done. So just a observation, you can do the quick math on that and turnover. And we were going to go through a funny exercise of raising the hand of who would be here, you know, during the next round. And I'll say our succession planning might be denial right now because we didn't want to do that. but I think there's a recognition that from the staff's perspective too, about the value that we're going to gain from really putting some effort towards succession planning as an agency going forward. So really happy to hear that several board members are kind of feeling the same way of that. So we'll have to get into the specifics of what that means going forward. And that's really all I wanted to share tonight. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Madam Secretary, did President Martin have his hand raised for item 7 by any chance?
He does not.
Okay, he does not. Okay, good. Any public comments from virtual attendees?
There is not.
Directors, comments, questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Cole. We'll move on to item number 9, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There were 3 reports that were included in your packet. And let's see, any public comments?
There is not.
Directors? Okay, I do have one item that I just want to, Mr. Cole or Mr. Cardi Mayo to just discuss. The Dickerson-Smythe pipeline replacement construction was scheduled for summer, but due to issues with sourcing, that's not going to be possible. Can you just briefly talk about it for director's awareness, please?
Our chief engineer will be happy to kind of bring the board up to date on that one.
Yeah. So during the process, after we hired the contractor, they went through the material sourcing and using our approved material list. And through that process, determined that it would take approximately 30 weeks to order the ductile iron pipe. So that is the backlog on that material that obviously eliminates the entire summer. We have been working with the two schools in that way area, the Legacy School and the Valencia High School. They are both aware of it. The work will be done at night. And so we are still moving forward with the project as fast as possible, but a consideration we'll have to have on other projects. It tends to benefit us to leave the material purchase with the contractor so we don't run any risk of not providing a material they may need. So the most likely outcome will be earlier bidding on projects to try to hit a schedule. Excuse me. So that's the status of that project. We're still moving forward. They are scheduled to begin most likely beginning in September or October.
Okay, thank you. All right, we move on to item 10, written reports for informational purposes only. There were four reports, including your packet, as well as the committee planning calendars. April, any public comments?
There is not.
Directors, comments, questions? All right, move on to item 11, President's Report. And I'll go ahead and read that on behalf of President Gary Martin. Outside the agency conference events, Accra Region 8 program and tour will take place on July 13th at 8:30 a.m. at West Basin Municipal Water District. 30th Annual Urban Water Institute Conference is held in San Diego, August 23rd to 25th. 2023 Economic Outlook on September 15th at 8 a.m. at COC and Performing Arts Center. Valley Industry Association, the BASH, will take place on November 3rd at the Hyatt Agency. Upcoming board meetings, regular board meeting on the 18th, and the next regular board meeting will be on the August 1st. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle, one on July 12th, a Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting, July 20th, Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting, August 3rd, Engineering and Operations Committee meeting. Upcoming committee meetings at this facility, July 17th, will be the Finance and Administration Committee meeting. April, any public comments?
There
President's
is
report, directors, any questions, comments? And President's reports. Okay, we move to item number 12, AB 1234 reports. Does anyone have any AB 1234 reports to state?
Yes, I do. On June 28th, I attended the Chamber Business Expo at the Hyatt. And on June 30th, I attended the FIA State of the State meeting at COC University Center.
Thank you, Director Marks. Director Cooper?
Yesterday on July 10th, I had a Aqua Infrastructure Task Force meeting. That was a Zoom meeting.
Any other directors? President Martin?
You. Thank you, Vice President Ozahowski. I did attend on June 22nd. The VIA After Five event at Bulletproof Construction in Santa Clarita. It's a good opportunity to meet with local business leaders and answer any questions or discuss water issues as they may be important to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, President Martin. And for me, I've on June 30th, I did attend the VIA State of the State with Scott Wilk and Pilar Chavio at COC. One interesting comment here is that SCV Water has received funding for Arundel removal. So looking forward to that. All right, let's move on to item 13, director reports. Are there any director reports? Okay, public comment, April?
There is not.
All right, we move on to item 14, director requests for approval for event attendance. Are there any requests at this time from directors? Seeing none. Any public comments, April?
There is not.
All right, we move to item 15, adjournment. Directors, thank you. Staff, thank you. This was a very productive meeting. Looking forward to the next one. And President Martin, we wish you full recovery and the immediate return to the boardroom.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for sitting in for me tonight. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.